Good evening, class. This evening, we're going to be talking about authority, which is the controversy of the universe. If you follow along with me in your book, I'm going to read a segment of the lesson, but I want you to follow closely because this lesson is going to separate the kingdom of God from the kingdom of evil, the kingdom of righteousness from the kingdom of unrighteousness. And we're going to find out what the whole controversy is concerning Satan. The controversy is not with God, because God knows who he is and God knows his authority. It's Satan, out of his deception, trying to deceive the church that he's still in authority over the world system, and he would like to have dominion not over only the things of the earth, but over man himself. He want to have dominion. But God has already initiated his authority upon the earth, and it's our job to find out about God's authority and how to maintain his authority. God don't have to maintain his authority, because God's authority is always going to be in place, because God is authority. He don't have to prove authority. He don't have to declare that I'm in authority. He just is. But our job is to maintain our position of authority, representing God. God don't need any help to prove that he's authority, but we need to know and understand that we can maintain our position as a kingdom people in his earth realm, so we can flow with God and keep his kingdom flowing with authority and with power and with might. So, let's begin to read authority, the controversy of the universe. The controversy of the universe is centered on who shall have the authority. Like I said before, it's not trying to decide whether God has authority. God always has authority. He always walks in authority and always will be in authority. So the controversy, I want to make it clear, not with God. It's between Satan and man. So the controversy is who shall have the authority. And our conflict, me and man, with Satan is a direct result of our attributing authority to God. That's why we dealt with last week Satan's position, who he was, how he fell, what was the reason of his fall, rebellion. He tried to make himself equal with God, but no way he's equal with God. Jesus defeated him at the cross. Matter of fact, he always was out of his position of authority. But Jesus just sealed it with the blood for us. Not for God. Jesus sealed the authority with the blood for us, so we can have dominion upon the earth. God always has dominion. So not, I'm going to repeat myself, and not whether God had dominion in his conflict with Satan. God dealt with Satan thousands of years ago when he kicked him out of heaven. That made Satan lose his authority, and he had to deal with the earth and try to make himself a position upon the earth. So, now remember, this is for us, this is not for God. To maintain God's authority, we must be subject to it with all of our heart. In other words, we must have an understanding of authority so we can function in this authority properly upon this earth and to keep the flow of authority going. Satan would love to break the flow of authority. Wow. We're not recognizing who God is, and we're not recognizing our position God has put us in, and so Satan cannot run rampant over us, over the children of God. So we have to know for sure that God is an authority, and he's equipped us with the authority, and Jesus sealed it with his blood. And matter of fact, we were taking the place of the risen Christ upon earth. So we have to know our authority over Satan, satanic power, demonic power, which is all the same, and we know how to walk in the privilege that Jesus has paid for us at the cross. All right? So, follow me close. I want to make this statement here. It is absolutely necessary for us to meet God's authority and to possess a basic knowledge of what it is. Now, authority is not something we, understanding of it, not something we're born with. Matter of fact, I think it's in the fifth chapter of Philippians, Jesus learned authority through the things he suffered. I want to be right on that scripture. I don't want to just throw scriptures out. So I'm going to turn to Ephesians 5 and make sure, not Ephesians, Philippians 5, make sure that what I'm saying is true and we can know exactly what we're talking about. He learned authority through the, what I said, through the things he suffered. Now, I know that can't be right because Philippians don't have a fifth chapter. So that's why you got to be certain with the word. Let's see. Let me see, can I find that scripture that Jesus did not come to the earth with authority, but he learned authority through the things he suffered. All right. All right. Give me a minute here. I know it's in the Bible. That's why it's not good to just quote scripture and don't have any proof behind what you're saying. He learned authority. I wish I could say somebody helped me find it, but that's impossible right now because we are virtual. But I tell you what, I have that scripture for you before this class is over here. But Jesus learned authority, and he said he learned obedience to authority through the things he suffered, all right? So it's absolutely necessary for us to meet God's authority and to possess a basic knowledge of what it is. Now, turn with me to Acts 9 chapter. Just hold your finger there because we're going to go through this scripture and find out how this man who was a renegade, who tried to make the church suffer in the name of God, but Jesus had to reposition his action and let him know that he was fighting against him. And that's a terrible position you don't want to be in, whether ignorantly or knowledgeable. Paul, or Saul as he was called, did it ignorantly, but yet he still would have suffered for it. But Jesus saw something. God saw something in Saul, and God knew that if I just can turn around what's that zeal that Saul had, I could use him for my glory. If I can take that same tenacity he has to serve God and to be persuasive that what God is trying to accomplish on the earth, if I could turn that around and have him operating with that same ability for me, then we can have a man that can't be turned. Can't be turned around, gonna be a stickler for what he believes, and not gonna be moved by no one or anything. God previewed that. He had foresight of what Saul gonna be. He knew what was in this man's heart, but he just had to turn it around. Sometimes God knows what's in your heart. And God said, if I just can turn that around. And so we're going to see this man wrote half of the New Testament, but yet he was punished in the Christian church. And so look in the ninth chapter of Acts, and we're going to see this man called Saul, who will later transform into an apostle, one of the greatest apostles that lived. Matter of fact, he considered himself the chief of sinners. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The chief of sinners. So we're going to look at this now. We're going to look at the first verse. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to look at that first verse, and I'm going to read to get a jumping off place to where I want to get. And Saul, 91, Acts 91, and Saul yet breathing out threatening Now, if you do your homework, do you well to read the 8th and the 9th chapter, because in the 8th chapter, Saul was even siding with the killing of Stephen. Stephen was a great evangelist at that time, and God was using him mightily, and they stoned Stephen, and Paul was right there with them in agreement with what they was doing. But here's the thing. He thought he was doing God a favor. Now, here's another point here. Sometimes you think you're doing God a favor, you know, but God don't need any favors, not if you're out of his will. You see it? Make sure you're in God's will before you act and do. Make sure you're under authority before you act and do. Because everything you do must be under the guidelines of authority. Some people want to submit directly to God, but you can't submit directly to God. God put a man here before you that you have to submit yourself to so he can keep you humble. Most people won't submit directly to God, don't want nobody to tell them what to do. And that's what Paul did. Now he's fixing to find out that he's about to find a little man named Ananias who had no real part in the Bible. He mentioned one time in the Bible, but yet God used him to tell this great Saul what to do. You see it? You can't do that in the natural. Saul couldn't do that on his own, but he had to be converted first. And under this command, I'm going to read. Just give me a minute. He had to be converted before he can be submitted. Oh, my God. Listen at that. I got to say it again. He had to be converted before he can be submitted. You remember that? That's a principle. You can't submit unconverted. Converted what? Converted in your spirit first, and then you got to be converted in your soul. You see it? What's your soul? In your heart. His heart had to be converted. His mind had to be renewed. And he had to find out that I have somebody I got to submit to and somebody I got to obey. Someone else giving me orders. That's greater than me. And so I got to submit. So, and Saul yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest and desired, this is how zealous he was, and desired letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, that's the way of Christ, following after Christ, disciples of Christ, find any of this way, you see it? Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, he had signed paper by the great high priest. So that means he had authority. Anyone wants to question him, that he had authority to do that. Oh, my goodness, I see something. He did it under authority, not recognizing the authority that he was under, was not under authority. Oh, my goodness, I got to say it again. He did it under authority, not recognize those that he was under authority to, the high priest I'm talking about. They were not under authority. So they were out of the will of God. Now, there's a scripture. I'm not going to try to tell you where it's at. Jesus said, the blind cannot lead the blind. If your authority don't know, then how are you going to know? Oh, my goodness, that leads me to something else. Sometimes people find themselves in churches where their leaders don't know, so they don't know. They don't know they're following wrongly, and they don't know that they have to be redirected. And sometimes God can only take them so far until they get under the right authority. Oh, thank God for Apostle Thompson. Thank God that we're under the right authority, a man after God's own heart. I can say more about him because one of the lessons we're going to learn, we got to trust our authority. You see it? And we have a man, an Apostle Thompson, that we can trust. You don't have to always agree. You see it? To submit. And that's what we're going to learn in the lesson. You don't even have to understand to submit. Do you think the children of Israel understood everything Moses was telling them to do? Even when back in the Old Testament, when he told him to put the blood on the doorpost and to eat with haste, we're about to get out of here. They didn't understand, but they did it. Some did it in obedience, and some did it because everybody else did it. Now, that's another point I can go off on. You don't want to do things because others are doing it, because you can find yourself in the dangerous position. No, you got to do it because it's a revelation to you. Even if you don't understand it, you got to understand the connection you got. Now, let's move on here. And desire him, second verse, and desire him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Where did this light come from? The light came from heaven. That's from God. This was Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus shined upon him. Jesus appeared before him in a supernatural form, supernatural manner, but he knew it was a supernatural experience he had. Sometimes these supernatural experiences, you don't have to always understand them, but sometimes God had to do this a certain way. God used everybody a certain way. God give everybody certain experiences, so sometimes to get your attention. Some might not need no lightning flash from heaven or great light flash from heaven or somebody prophesizing over them. Sometimes people don't need that. But Saul, his personality, God knew that he had to have something dramatically different to shock him, to let him know that what happened was happening was not a man couldn't do it. Something that the high priest couldn't do. Something that he never experienced before, never seen before. Something that was gonna stay in his memory for the rest of his life. Some experience you'll never forget. Some experience with God you'll never forget. They'll always be fresh, like the day you had them. That's when God sometimes revealing himself to you. Some experience, boy, my goodness, you can't explain them even. It's hard to explain this situation here. Apostle Paul did the best he could in rehearsing it, but it's hard for others to understand. But sometimes it's not for others to understand. It's for you to understand. All right? So don't try to make everybody understand your experiences. And as he journeyed, camped him, suddenly a light shined around about him, and it was a light from heaven. And the full verse said, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Now, this was very dramatic. First of all, the bright light shined. Secondly, this voice from heaven spoke. And the scripture said other men heard it, but it didn't see no man. Paul recognized the dramatic of it. He understood or he experienced how supernatural this was. There was something never seen before, never experienced before. And so he fell to earth after he heard this voice. And the fifth verse said, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And I asked myself, how did he know to use the word Lord in this instance? How did he put the great light and the Lord together with this? I thought about it a little while. But when that voice come to you, they had no shadow of a doubt who it is. I don't care if you never heard his voice before. When that voice speaks to you, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ. Know why? Nobody speaks like him. Well, one man said, never have I heard a man speak like this before. And so when you hear that voice, you'll know it's a supernatural voice of Jesus. He had no doubt who it was. He had no doubt it was the Lord Jesus. He said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And why he said, who art thou? He never met him before. He knew it was him, but he never met him before. He never had Jesus revealed to him before. That's why people don't understand and reverence the Lord Jesus Christ, because he never been revealed. Jesus is a revealed person, and he has to be revealed to your to your spirit, to your soul, and to your body. Right now, he got revealed all three. He got revealed to Saul's spirit. He got revealed to his soul, which is his understanding and his emotion and his heart. And he got revealed to his body, because we're going to find out something happened to his body here. And look, he said, and the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted, and it is hard for thee to kick against the prick, kick against authority. One translation said, kick against the gold. You see, it's hard for thee to kick against authority. And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, and now. Right here is the surrendering place where the apostle Paul, being Saul right now, yielded right here. Somebody said, when he got born, he yielded right here to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He submitted himself right here to that great voice. He submitted himself to this great experience. He submitted himself to this blinding light that became a light to him. The light, this light will blind you if you don't understand and see. And sometimes Jesus said, sometimes you gotta be blinded before you can see. I find out, I'm not going through the whole lesson, but Saul stayed blind for 3 days. Stayed blind for 3 days. 3 days. I don't understand it all, but it may have taken him 3 days. 3 days to compute this. It might have taken 3 days to allow this thing to go through his being. 3 days to get himself experienced, saturated, knowing what had happened. 3 days of Jesus communing with him and him communing with the Lord Jesus. 3 days to complete a great conversion, to bring understanding to his soul, because he didn't know what was going on. 3 days for Jesus to reveal himself to him. And after the third day, Jesus said, okay, that's enough, you understand. Ananias, go lay your hands on him. Now let's read some more. I'm not trying to take this thing to another place, but just for our understanding. You see it? You see it? And the men with him, in the seventh verse, no, he said, and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's yielding and that's submitting. And the Lord, that's dying to what he was going to do. That's a change of direction. That's taking order from another headquarter. Even not understanding what's going on. You don't have to always understand, but another kingdom introduced himself to Saul. And he was under different orders. All of a sudden, he was on one order, and then he got interrupted by another order. My goodness. Change of direction. Change of mind. His mind got changed. His thoughts got changed. His being got changed. His understanding got changed. Something happened to him. Something happened supernaturally to him because he met authority. Authority will do that. Authority will do that to you when you really meet. My question, have you really met authority? Have you had a Damascus Road experience? See, some people can't be turned because they never had experience. Some people like renegades will keep doing what they want to do. I don't care who you are. I'm not going to do that. I don't care what the pastor say. I'm doing this. No, they haven't met authority yet. They haven't had a Damascus Road experience. They haven't learned to die yet. Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city. It should be told thee what thou must do. No. I want you to recognize this. sometimes right here, men won't get the order directly from God. God showed them the first lesson of submission is you're not going to get it directly from me. Not right now. Right now, you got to submit yourself to another person. Go. And you're going to find a certain person. This is Ananias we're referring to. Who shall tell thee? Wouldn't it have been just as easy for Jesus to tell him what to do? No, but Jesus wanted him to submit to someone else. Yeah. And then somebody else going to tell you. He didn't even tell him who was going to do it, what he must do. And the men which were journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he was still blind. He saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight. And after that was the resurrection. No, he didn't say that, but that would happen. And neither did eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. You see? Now, see, Ananias was a disciplined disciple. I don't have much history about Ananias. I don't know a whole lot about Ananias. But just from the scripture, I knew he had experience from God because he was about to do something he didn't understand. That's a mission. He heard the voice of the Lord Jesus give him some instruction. He did not fully understand it. Matter of fact, his soul, wanted to argue with the Lord. But he knew the Lord is always right. So he submitted to the Lord, even when he didn't understand. He said, Ananias? He said, behold, I'm here, Lord. I can say a lot about this. Ananias recognized the Lord's voice. You see it? And the Lord said unto him, and arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayed. So that's another thing we find out here, that within those 3 days, Paul was praying and seeking God. He was praying, and he didn't quite understand what was happening. So when you don't know what's going on and what to do, you pray. You seek God's face. Jesus said, behold, he prayed. And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard so many bad things about this man. I don't know if I want to go and be a part of this. No, he said, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to the saints at Jerusalem. So he had a track record. Saul had a track record. How would you react here? You see, he heard so much. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon the name, on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Nah, this is when you're submitted. I can imagine Jesus could have used some other people, but he found a humble man like Ananias willing to trust him to put your hands on a certain man that's going to write half of the New Testament. Ananias didn't know who he was laying his hands on. Sometimes you don't know who you're laying your hands on. So sometimes you don't know who you're witnessing to, who you're telling about Jesus. Sometimes you don't know what God wants to do with that person. That's why when God said, when Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost said, I want to witness to that man, that woman. I want you to tell him about me. And you refuse, or you make some excuse. He said, Lord, I don't know that man. I don't know what, what you've done. I don't know his background. I don't know what you're capable of doing, maybe to me. But the Lord tell you, the Lord have a purpose for it. You see it? You find yourself being in the position of Ananias. I've seen myself in position, shaking and trembling, telling somebody about Jesus. You see it? You see it? But I used to have a complex. I had a complex because I had certain people I would witness to, people I felt comfortable with, you know. And I never crossed, I didn't use to cross race, you know, me being black and want to witness someone, you know, of the white gender, I mean, of the white race and, you know, Hispanic race. And I try to stay in my own race. You know why? Because I feel comfortable. But then the Lord opened my eyes up. He said, you witness to whoever I tell you to witness to. And now I do with ease. I hear the Lord's voice, and I don't pay no mind to my flesh. I don't pay my mind to whether I think I'm not worth it, or sometimes this inferiority try to give it. I don't even think about it. The Lord tell me to do it, I do it. I learned to submit to the Lord, and I learned to hear his voice. And I learned it's not up to me to get them saved. It's the Lord's work to get them saved. The Holy Ghost is always present to help me when the Lord directs me. So all I do is pray and obey. And I say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to say before I get to where I'm going? I'm just another mini lesson on evangelism, because the apostle, he's strong in evangelism right now. God is doing something here at World Life that astounding men. Over 1,600 people since March been born again. Because people like Ananias, God using people like Ananias, people that not of great stature, everyday Christian folks with the gospel on their lips and obedience in their heart to do whatever the Lord say do, and getting people born again like you never had before. Out of this was this one, this lesson about obedience to the Spirit of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know who we witness to. That's my point. Go thy way. For he's a chosen vessel. Now, my goodness. Unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. My goodness. What an assignment God had for this man. And he let Ananias in on it because of his submission and obedience and his humility. So you need all those things working for you. Submission, obedience, and humility. You need all these things working for you. One more time. Submission, obedience, and humility. That's some of the qualities that apostle trying to put in us, and all the other instructors trying to put in us and put in you, so we can take this baton and run with it and bring people into the kingdom. You see it? And see it? And that's what it's going to take. I'm not getting forward my lesson. But I want you to know what this authority is all about. It's not about you. It's about submitting to the very will of God, that we can take the word that God put in our heart and say what we need to say to who God tells you to say it to. Then that 16th verse says, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now my whole point for going here to show you that Paul or Saul had to meet authority before he could submit himself to the will of God. He had to go through the experience on the Damascus Road. You have to have a Damascus Road experience. You might not get a light shining from heaven. You might not get falling to the ground. You might not have to go through 3 days of being blind. But I tell you what, God will get your attention. He might use a man, you see, and he might have to correct you in some way. I remember, back in the early days of the school, we had a pastor that came to school late one day. And he walked into apostle's class, and he sat down. Apostle said, you're late. He said, take a seat and sit down. Don't ever be late again in my class. My goodness. This pastor came to me a couple weeks later with tears in his eyes. For the first time, he met authority. for the first time, he walked on his Damascus Road and had his Damascus Road experience. He said, man, nobody ever talked to me like that before. But he said, it changed my life. It changed my ministry. For the first time, this man met authority. It put a place in a place of humility. And sometimes you got to be rebuked. Sometimes you got to be corrected. Even when you think you're right. Even when you think you don't deserve it. Even when you don't understand it. You have to be corrected. And then God, what God do, in doing the correction, he find out what's in your heart. God will find out, if can he be used? God will find out, can I promote him a little bit further? Or he thinks himself more than you ought to. Sometimes God chastised those he loved, but sometimes God tests your heart. Have you ever had your heart tested yet? I tell you what, it changed your life. I had my tested many times. And every time I had it tested, it brought me on another level of understanding God's authority, another level of submission, another level of understanding what the will of God is all about. Are you with me? I'm almost done. And so after that, he was able, after what? The experience, he was able to submit to the direction given to him by Ananias. You know, can you imagine Saul never had this experience? And he would say, who do you think you're talking to? You don't know who I am. That sounds familiar, don't it? You ever thought about saying that? Or you ever find yourself saying something along that line? You don't know who you're messing with. That's because you've never been broken. You never had to submit to anybody. That's why it could be one of the reasons why you're not moving. My goodness. My goodness. So you got to have a change of heart, change of mind, change of will. Listen to this now. At the moment he was saved, Saul knew God's authority as well as God's salvation. He knew it. He understood it. How could Paul, being a clever and capable person, listen to the words of Ananias, an unknown little brother mentioned only once in the Bible, if he had not met the authority of God? Had he not encountered authority on the road to Damascus, he could never have been subject to that obscure little brother in the city. Now, write this down because you're going to hear this again. This shows us that whoever has met authority deals purely with authority and not with man. I'm going to read that again. This shows us that whoever has met authority deals purely with authority and not with man. You have to understand that you're not dealing with a man. You're dealing with authority, and you find out that authority is God. All delegated authority represent God, even if it don't look like it. That's why I made a statement last week. When you enter a room, enter a home, enter a church, you know, you might want to say, who's an authority? You might have to say that publicly. Just say it to yourself. Who in authority that I may obey? Because you're looking. You don't want to just have a takeover spirit. You don't just want to just do what you want. No, you want to submit yourself. You see it? You want to submit yourself. Let us not see the man, but only the authority vested in him. This will save you a lot when you don't see the man, but you see the authority vested in him. And then you could submit yourself unto God. You can submit yourself unto him as you're submitting yourself unto God. And so the half of the church world, 80% of the church world, don't understand this statement. Everybody want to be in authority. And here's the last thing I'm going to make before we close. We do not obey man, but God's authority in that man. Otherwise, how can we ever learn what authority is? God will always use a man to bring you from point A to point B. Most people want to go on their own. Most people want to be self-made. But God always have a protocol. God always put a man before you. God always puts someone in authority that represent him. So someone made of flesh and blood, someone that can rebuke you, someone that been where you trying to go, or you never understand. You see, that's why I understand why we being understood, how we been led in the school, how apostles been teaching us and training us, because God won't use him to take us places we never been. And to do that and to go there, we got to submit to his authority, submit to his experience, and submit to his relationship. Listen to this. Submit to his relationship that he has with God. He has a proven track record. And I tell you what, it's hard to find men like him in this earth. So class, this is as far as I can go today. We're going to take up from here. We're going to talk about Samuel next week. So keep reading in the book and read the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, and it's going to help us understand our next lesson. All right, class is ended. Go in peace.